But one of the things that I thought about with regard to Mandela, I told the story of the time I had the chance to meet the man. The long and short of this story, I suppose, is that I couldn't bring myself to do it. And I couldn't think of another person on earth, honestly, another person on earth, where I would have been intimidated actually to walk up and shake someone's hand, even though that person is reputed to be remarkably pleasant, right, and amiable. I found myself in a bookstore in Cape Town in 2002. Outside the wall of the bookstore, happened to see about 35 or 40 South Africans just kind of standing there, apparently staring in at me. My wife was standing next to me, and she said, "What are those people looking at? Why are they looking at us?" And then she looked just over my shoulder and said, "Oh, Mandela's here." I said, "Oh my goodness," to myself. And she said, go talk to him. I was in South Africa at the time doing dissertation research on the transition to democracy and his role in it, but the role of many others as well. And part of me, the social scientist part of me, thought, oh, this would be the greatest informal interview ever, the opportunity to speak to Nelson Mandela. But I couldn't bring myself to do it. I couldn't bring myself to just walk up and, what do you say to Nelson Mandela? You know, like, thank you, Mr. Mandela, or I'd be pleased to talk with you. And part of it, I think, was the idea that there were 40 South Africans outside this bookstore looking in. They themselves were not about to approach Nelson Mandela. You know, just this sort of deference to his, I suppose, legitimacy and authority and who he was. There was one person who was willing to walk up to him, and it was a toddler. And he bent over and rubbed the toddler on the head and patted the toddler and, you know, said all kinds of genial things. But there was this very weird feeling that here was this man that I couldn't quite bring myself to speak to. And certain contexts, I guess I've thought of that as, you know, all these years later, he's gone now. And I regret that I didn't have the chance ever to meet him and talk to him. But it was a very meaningful sort of moment for me to stand there and to realize and to have an appreciation for that I actually, in some sense, had a hero, you know, which is something that I might have been doubtful of before that there are people who do something sort of above and beyond what we expect human beings to do. I made the point to my students that when I was in high school, this was really one of the first things that got me interested in international politics, the movement to abolish apartheid and free Mandela. And President Obama noted recently that one of the things in college for him that got him into politics was the abolish apartheid movement and the movement to free Mandela. That is dissipating, right? That's changing for this generation of students. But I don't think the story becomes any less compelling, even if the man becomes somewhat less present. I think one of the things about Mandela that is really challenging for me is that my predilection or my tendency as a social scientist is to think that in most circumstances, there are lots of social forces that are beyond any one person's control that really shape events, right? That big things like, what do many people think in a society? Or what are the different organizations that are influential in a society? What is the economic structure of a society? Like, things that are very impersonal, that there are impersonal forces that really drive what happens in a country or in the world. And so I think part of what's most compelling about Mandela for me is that he challenges a lot of my assumptions in many ways. He makes me question, or he made me question, in a much more serious way, what individuals mean, what a single person can mean in something as large and as huge and as world historical as a nation becoming a democracy, as a sort of a continent changing. So when I teach Mandela, it's almost as a challenge to myself. It's as a challenge to my own tendencies and ways of thinking as a political scientist. I'm most often inclined not to believe that one person can do that much, right? Those exceptions are so compelling, whether it's Martin Luther King or Gandhi, right? Or any, just in the 20th century, not to mention many others before that. And Mandela was the one in my lifetime, right? He was the one in my lifetime who not only changed his country, but as I think of it, in a real sense, this is arguable, but really kind of brought about the final end of colonialism. So to have someone of that kind of significance, for me, it's important to think about and when possible to teach about those people.